I realize now, I feel like a lot of our episodes, start with me making some stupid ass fucking noise.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Don't apologize.
All right.
That's part of the reason I like you opening the episode.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Is it dumb that it's not always the same?
No. I think it's even better.
Okay. There's like, we circulate. There's a few that are repeats. Gotta be.
Yeah.
My brain can only expand
so much. Some recipes are good and they're classic. You want to keep making them. And sometimes you want to spice it up and that's cool.
Sarah, you're so cute.
Thank you.
What a spice of life moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, love it. Well, hi. This is Sinister Sunrise. I'm Morgan.
I am Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And we are continuing flipping the script for you folks. But before we dive into my topic today, we're going to... Sarah recently turned the big 3-0.
Woo!
30.
Yes!
Happy birthday!
I'm like the Crypt Keeper.
We're just inching closer to that.
Yeah.
To that as well.
Erin and I are not too far behind, and we will be jumping over that hill very much, very close together. So, you went first without a parachute.
But you guys get to go tandem.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. How lucky.
Yes. But in speaking of the 30th birthday like we did last time, you also did another adventure for your birthday.
Yes, I stayed at the haunted Limp Mansion.
Woohoo!
Yes, with my not haunted, but hauntingly handsome husband.
Oh!
He's not listening, so I got no brownie points. Someone mentioned to him later, make him feel good.
Woo!
Yes. Yes, he and I stayed on a Tuesday night at the Limp Mansion, which is cool because they... Do you hear that?
Yeah, I can't hear it on the mic, though. Is he leaf blowing something? I can't hear it. I can't hear. Like, I'm watching the mics.
Okay.
Like, here, be quiet for a sec. Okay, well, I heard that, Sarah.
He sprang off a tarp. It won't take.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
No, I can't. I can hear it, but I don't think the mics are picking it up.
Okay. Yeah. I think we're good.
So you said handsomely, hauntingly handsome. And you can maybe start from there. Sorry, Wes comes out.
Yes, so we stayed overnight at the haunted Limp Mansion in St. Louis. I think Erin used to there before, and you had the same experience of they kind of give you the keys at 3 p.m. and say, it's all yours.
Uh-huh.
You can explore the attic, the second floor, main floor, basement, outside. It was really cool.
And you were the only ones there, right?
Yes.
Ah, crazy!
Yes, nothing weird really happened. Mm-hmm. I was too scared to play with the Ouija board because it was just Andrew and I. And I was like,
fair.
Please no.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was super cool. Would go back. I'd like to go back to the group and we could maybe try and like talk to something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was probably a little too scared to actually interact with anything.
Yeah.
But I did keep trying to get pictures like orbs and stuff. Didn't get any. But still, there are some creepy vibes. And like we had an EMF detector.
Mm-hmm.
And it did go off in the middle of one room, which I found strange.
Ooh.
It was the room. We've all done the tour. Do you remember there is not the jungle room, not the main dining room to the right, but like the one straight ahead where they saw a ghost once eating his breakfast?
The bar?
Not the bar.
Oh.
It's got all the wallpaper.
Oh,
and
the big.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like it's like the dining room,
yes.
But not the. Okay. Yes. I do
yes.
remember.
Yes. Not like their conference, like the dining room.
Yep.
Yeah.
It did go off like at one of the tables in there.
Ooh.
But yeah.
At one of the tables too. That's kind mm-hmm. of freaky.
It was, if you're looking at the room, there's windows in front of you. It was the table to the right, which I thought was the one he was sitting at. So I was like, anybody there? Anybody there? Yeah, but overall it's creepy. I had a lot of weird dreams, but nothing. Yes. I kept having a dream of like a ghost housekeeper like coming and knocking on the door. Like I kept waking up every couple hours. But
that's
weird.
Mm-hmm. You stayed in the room I want to stay in.
The lavender suite.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Not to be weird, but did you bathe while you were there?
No. God, no. I was terrified.
Oh, I think the bathroom looks so cool.
The bathroom does look cool, but the thought of being, yeah, I guess like naked and like exposed in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I mean, Wes would be sitting on a chair in the bathroom with me. Whoa.
Which he could, because there are chairs in there. It is basically the size of my living room and dining room.
That's
kind of
why I like it, is the bathroom. I love a big bathroom.
Oh, it felt bougie.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so overall, super cool. Want to go back. Especially with someone who is sensitive, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm going to go. I'd be willing to go.
Perfect. But yeah, it was cool. We're the only people there. So,
wow. So regardless, like, awesome time.
Oh, 100%. Sweet. Being able to like explore a Victorian style mansion by yourself all night is cool enough in itself. Like, and I know there was like an air of it could be haunted. So,
yeah. Something new regardless.
Something new.
Something new for turning not 32. Damn.
Something. We'll get it by the end of the episode.
30 something something jumping. Nope, it's out anyway. I don't know, something cool for turning 30.
I'm looking at words that rhyme with 30.
Words and that mean new.
Wes, cut out all this silence and make it sound like we thought of it really fast, okay?
But he doesn't.
No, he's like, nah, fuck that.
It's out. Is it out? We out. Sarah, we out.
Something Herbie feeling 30?
Herbie?
Like, fully loaded? Or?
Yeah. That's
it was fun and I'm 30.
It's great. Woo! We did it.
Morgan, what do you got? Is it a me or is it an Aaron?
It's an Aaron.
Ooh, that's a right. That's a right. Yeah,
so literally I titled this one Morgan's True Crime Story. And it's not a crime I committed, so get your mind out of the gutter.
I mean, if you did want to commit a crime, though, we would get some really good clicks and listens.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to expose it on this podcast.
Okay, I am scared and even would be the person who, if I saw someone stealing, would be like, oh, put that back. So I highly doubt that I could be that person, but
to all the cops listening, yeah, see, wink, she's wink. Really upstanding.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Again, I started this off with like, today I have the pleasure of trying to tackle true crime, aka I'm excited about my story. However, I'm no expert. I don't know. After doing all my research on this, I don't know how you keep all your times and dates straight, Aaron, but we're going to go. We're just bear with me on this bumpy journey, but I think overall you will be shocked and surprised.
Okay.
So, buckle up, ladies and listeners. I am taking you back to August 23rd, 1977 in Indianapolis, Indiana. When your average Jewish American couple, Norman and Adrian, welcome their bundle of joy, a baby boy who we'll call Jay. His early life, as well as his family's, has always and continues to be quite private, with not much information on them anywhere on the internet. However, it is said that his parents were a doctor and teacher, respectively, and did have two other children after Jay. Jay was known to be extremely shy, and some say never really seen with anyone, not only his own age, not even like really just doing much of anything. To quote a documentary I saw, sitting with him at lunch would be social suicide, end quote.
Oh.
All because he was heavily obese.
Get the
Those who knew him in middle school and high school stated he was extremely overweight the entire time that they knew him. Looking back, it was clear that he was struggling mentally and that food was his only friend.
Hmm. Okay, just, do you think maybe a friend would have helped with that? Maybe he had something else to do besides... Shame.
Again, this is pre-90s, no mental health, no, you know, if you're fat, you're fat, you're fucked, you know.
Terrible.
However, despite his young, sad adult life, get all that out of there.
Why do I feel like you're, that'd be the opening to my, like, biography, like, despite her young, sad adult life, she did make it to 30.
Yeah. I didn't inflect in the right spot. However, despite his sad young adult life, our friend Jay was able to find love in 2001, But again, sadly, his love wouldn't last, ending with a divorce in 2005. But love found Jay again in 2007, where he was married and soon had two children. But that isn't exactly what I'm here to tell you about. See, this innocent character we're calling Jay, his life wasn't actually all that cut and dry. Well, to the outside world for years, that's how it may have appeared. However, our friend's story really begins in 1999 when the first article from Thick to Thin on Jay was written.
Oh, shut up.
And this is where he admits how he lost over 250 pounds with the Subway diet.
Yes, yes.
If you can't guess by now, Jay is the Subway guy, Jared Fogle.
Jared Fogle.
Did I get
you? You did. I was like, wait, no, I feel like this is familiar. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, all terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. All terrible.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So if you know nothing about this guy, if you were born like after 2015, yikes, you probably shouldn't be listening to this. He was super popular in the 90s and all the way up until about 2014, 15, where he was basically the lead campaign man and kind of public face of Subway.
Mm-hmm.
E-Fresh.
E-Fresh.
Yeah. So, yes, before I need some disclaimers before we get in too much further. I took almost all of my information directly from a documentary that came out in March, which I had no idea came out. As soon as we talked about flipping topics, I don't know why the Subway guy came to my head, but it did. And when I first started researching, I was like, dude, there's fucking nothing on this. Like, his early life is true. It's very quiet. Mm-hmm. Not a lot out there. But this documentary, it just came out. And I was like, I have to find this. And we found it for free.
There you go. There you go.
So bear with me. I like to be a storyteller, so I'm going to try to do my best. But would highly recommend 12 out of 10. Watch it yourself. Again, so little disclaimer. I did take almost all my information directly from that documentary that came out in March. It is called, why don't I have this memorized? Catching a Monster, and it's on Investigation Discovery. What?
Sorry, I know he's controversial. I don't know what he did, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, your eyes tell me I need to know.
Oh, this is going to be so interesting. I thought you knew.
No, I've been literally living underneath an alien spaceship for like 2 months. I don't know anything else.
Oh, this is going to be real. Oh, I'm excited. Two different perspectives. I love this. Oh, anyway, Catching a Monster on Investigation Discovery. So we found it. We have Spectrum TV, like an app or something. So we were able to find it through that. There's a couple other places that it's listed. If you type in Jared Fogle documentary, it'll list all the places you can find it.
Okay.
If you have those streaming services, you can probably watch it for free. Okay, so secondly, I am going to bring up some triggering topics regarding sexual assault, pornography, crimes associated with that, as well as discussions of minors involved, which includes but is not limited to direct quotes that some may find disturbing.
What the fuck did this dude do? Okay, all right, I'm in. Buckle in, I'm in.
So that article from Thick to Thin was just the start of his campaign for the Subway brand and living a healthy lifestyle. Healthy my ass. Anyway, the documentary I watched heavily showcases Rochelle Herman, a radio personality, and her experiences with Jared. So I want to preface this with the documentary itself goes pretty much between two main aspects of Jared's life. Kind of two people who were involved in basically his unraveling as a person. So the reason I say that is I may skip around a little bit. Dates were a little wonky in the documentary. Not that they weren't correct, but just it's a little hard to keep straight, in my opinion, when things were going. They kind of jumped forward, went back. Like, I feel like a lot of true crime documentaries do that, and sometimes it's kind of hard to put the puzzle pieces together.
Yeah.
Overall, I will tell you her involvement and then kind of the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was her name again?
Rochelle Herman. Yes. And keep in mind, it's her career does matter a little bit. She is a radio personality, had her own radio show that she hosted with another gentleman, and she is located in Sarasota, Florida. So basically, and I'm going to give you like pretty much meat and potatoes of this. There's going to be some facts I'll leave out because I want you to still find some of the stuff very like crazy that happens. I don't want to take away the full surprise of the documentary. So basically, it's 2001. Jared's kind of like at his peak, like still riding that high. I mean, this guy, to put it in perspective, was the guy. He was meeting celebrities. Celebrities were he was standing next to them when they were hosting commercials, Super Bowls, mm-hmm. all of this stuff. Like, he was the face. And a couple other people that were interviewed on the documentary were, they did like a short little stint of a campaign where they had like five other people who had lost a lot of weight. And they, Jared was like the big part of it though, because they were like, yeah, we did the Subway diet, but like, you were the one who like kicked it off. So like, he's still the face of those commercials. He's still the face of Subway. It was just kind of these like five other characters that they like flew in and out. I personally don't remember them at all from the commercials. I mean, this was right in the prime of like all of our lives. So, you know, I don't remember them. I do remember Jared.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking it back to 2001. Rochelle has Jared booked for her radio show. She welcomes the half hour late Jared to her show, where she says he was very friendly and nice, but for sure had an ego. And this, she, you know, kind of just attributed to that quick rise to fame. This man was known all around the nation, truly a cultural phenomenon. His platform was, again, helping children, a.k.a. starting a healthy lifestyle much earlier than he did. So he wasn't necessarily just saying, like, eat Subway. It was like he did, you know, I don't think he was, like, associated with, like, Jump Rope for Heart, but, like, those kind of campaign-ish type things that were, like, really big in the mid to, like, early to late 2000s mm-hmm. of just, like, let's get kids healthy across America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rochelle and Jared did flirt a little bit after the radio interview, which carried into the television interview that she was going to be directing him, I think either like a couple days later, something like that. So she was like, she was known in the town. She was just kind of like a host, right? So she okay. got picked to interview him for this TV show. It's kind of like a continuation of the radio interview. However, Jared was being a little too pushy, as Rochelle thought he was going through a divorce. So she was like, I mean, like, we're flirting a little bit, but, like, the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Then Rochelle states Jared leaned over and out of nowhere commented on how hot he thought middle school girls were. Yes. What? Seconds before filming a TV interview, I can't even say, man, this person who is over the age of 22 comments on middle school aged girls. And this is where the start of the horrid Jared seems to begin.
Bruh. No.
Yeah.
I don't even think people that are like 18 are attractive anymore.
No.
They
no.
look so young to me no. now, which I think is healthy, you know? I think that's probably what you're supposed uh-huh. to do.
Yeah. yeah. I think no one between under the age of 18 is attractive. Like, no. ever, really.
No.
No.
Like, he does realize a lot of our population is over that age. And that's acceptable.
Yeah, and he's 22 at this time. So I will say, again, he's in his 20s during this time. I'm going to do my best to throw some dates in there, but overall, this is just his journey up until he gets caught.
His journey and our journey to hell. Okay, yeah. Got it.
I don't want to take away, again, too much from the documentary, but Rochelle is floored by this comment and like mm-hmm. is taken aback and is like, no, there's no way you fucking said that. Like, come on, no. But she's like, holy shit. I just heard him say that like clear as day. I have to stop this guy, because she is basically fully convinced that like this is true. And that if he has all this fame and money, then something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she knows it. She just knows it in her gut that something bad is happening.
Two things. One, you can go ahead and eat your ego, Jared. I don't care about the sandwiches. Eat the fucking ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two, who just says that? Like, you have to be out of nowhere. Pretty flagrantly thinking you're not wrong if you say that.
Right. And just, again, this is, it's hard sometimes to not put your, like, 2023 brain on it and think, like, dude, you were mic'd up. Like, no one heard it. Only her.
Really?
Apparently no one heard it. It wasn't recorded. Nothing.
Huh.
Because they don't have our great editor-in-chief, Wes.
Shout out, Wes. I'll be on the lookout. I'm here. I'm listening. Mm-hmm.
If any of us make any comments, I expect you to catch them, Wes.
Right.
Except not me.
So, basically, Rochelle decides to take it upon herself to end this.
Cool.
She starts trying to dig up evidence to back up her claims because all she had was suspicions and that statement that Jared made. She knew she had to get proof. So she started recording her phone calls with him, even recording her meeting him in person, which turns south very quickly. Basically, they agree to meet at a motel, and because she's just trying to catch this on tape and get the fuck out of there. I'm not going to dive too much into details, but I will have a quote here shortly. So if you are triggered, then I would skip ahead. He immediately gets handsy and tells her how hot it would be if she put her quote, sorry. He immediately gets handsy with her and says, quote, how hot it would be if she put her hair in pigtails, end quote. She immediately got out of the situation the moment he went to the bathroom. Of course, her recorder picked up nothing, and she was scared to put herself in a situation alone with him again. But she knew she wasn't done investigating this. She is a motherfucking badass and basically flirted with him via telephone for years until he finally said it out loud. Quote, he thought it would be so hot for a nine or 10 year old to be with them, end quote. This goddess of a woman reports Jared to the FBI in 2007.
Get it, Russia.
Recordings and all. However,
stop.
They inform her that recording without consent is a felony.
Yeah.
But again, this motherfucking badass pulls through again and basically becomes a double agent and works for them, continuing to record and report to them. Calls begin, if you can imagine, to get more graphic, describing to Rochelle about the ages of girls he had been with, all while she is trying to pry information out of him, names, ages, anything, and then give those tapes to the FBI, all while being very covert and meeting in abandoned parking lots to deliver those tapes. She mentions in the documentary she is delivering tapes 1 to 2 times a day.
Wow.
Let's keep in mind, Rochelle has 2 kids and is a single mom, all while making these drops for the tapes, again, up to 2 times a night. So a big portion of this documentary is how this affected her. So I mention it throughout this, but like, again, you won't know until you like watch it and like see her and hear her reactions to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. So again, keeping these calls going, she keeps the FBI basically just keeps telling her like, we're working on it, we're working on it. And then Jared brings up Thailand. He spills on a call that, quote, you can get whatever age you want, end quote. And he goes on to describe a young male child he sexually abused. At this point, Rochelle is getting sick after these calls and wondering why in the world the FBI has not taken action.
Yeah.
They claim at this time that while he's... Jared is being descriptive, they have no proof the actions were really done. They focused a lot on what he was saying and that it could just be a fantasy. Rochelle is starting to break. She's stressed, always hearing about these horrid things, having to deal with this monster. After dealing with a family matter, she decides this has to come to an end, and she and the FBI make a plan to end it all. A sting operation was put into effect, getting Jared on board to travel to see Rochelle for a party she was throwing for her son. Per the FBI, if she dangles the carrot and he, quote, traveled across state lines with intent, end quote, they could book him.
Okay.
But of course, Jared's schedule changed for the party, so it never happened. Finally, Jared and Rochelle broke apart slash lost touch because he seemed frustrated that she wasn't meeting up with him, that these phone calls weren't leading to anything, etc. However, she said, quote, all I wanted to do was shout from the rooftops that Jared was a pedophile, end quote.
I love that she is the issue, and that's why they broke off, and it's like, dude, you know, like, you're gross, right?
It's a problem. It's you. But she couldn't say anything due to being involved with the FBI. Finally, May 13th, 2012, she heads to the local Sarasota police to turn in the FBI for not doing their due diligence and closing the case.
Yes.
So, again, motherfucking badass.
Yeah.
While Sarasota detectives understood that this is not something that could be pushed under the rug, Rochelle threatened to air the tapes on her radio station.
Yes.
With that, the police did call the FBI to confirm that there was an active case on this. Now, while I want to say, okay, snitches, for, like, reporting her to the FBI, the documentary brings up that police in Sarasota had no real jurisdiction in this because no crimes had been committed in the state of Florida.
Okay.
There was other comments on, like, the police and the FBI, like, warning her, like, this could turn around on you. Like, first and foremost, like, you committed a felony, but they basically, like, let her off the hook for that because she helped get the tapes for them. However, like, you don't know who Jared knows. Like, you could be in danger for doing this, for putting him on blast.
Okay. Literally, the 90s and 2000s were a crazy time because he was famous for eating fucking sandwiches. It's not like he's this humanitarian or the president of the United States. You ate some sandwiches, you got a dietitian, and you lost like 300 pounds.
Sounds a lot like an influencer. Anyway.
Oh, it does.
Yep.
Ew. Ew.
Next thing we know, the FBI raids Rochelle's radio station. But all that did was start the conversation that needed to happen. The FBI was really going to push forward, and Rochelle had to basically disappear and not communicate on the issue. By 2012, the damage of trying to take on this monster alone had really taken away from her life. She was diagnosed with a very debilitating condition, which causes daily constant pain.
Aww.
So, again, she basically, like, finally 2012 said, here you go. Like, here's all this shit. I'm like, I'm still here. I will be quiet if you do your fucking job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's not trying to waste her time. And, like, you want to make the world a better place, a safer place. You are a citizen taking it upon yourself to help a big government agency. And the government agency is like, perhaps not today.
Right. So now I'm going to take you to the flip side of the story.
Okay.
Flip side. What was really going on? We're going to take you back to 2004. The Jared Foundation was started. This was to provide education and events for schools to talk about healthy living. So a lot of the documentary talks about Jared's traveling. Like, again, he is the face of Subway, but he's also going to these schools and doing, like, basically, like, press conversations and talking to gymnasiums full of students about how to be healthier. So literally just probably like a cat watching a fish tank full of fish.
Okay.
But I can't talk about Jared Fogle without talking about Russell Taylor. He is the guy who was hired to run the foundation. And I had this, like, again, kind of the cat watching the fish. But, like, basically, whenever they left the schools, they did nothing but give each other an excuse to think about their dark fantasies. So the dates again are a little squiggly here, but Russell, on the documentary, it does focus on these two girls, Hannah and Christian, who are sisters, and gives their kind of perspective and side of the story because Russell ends up marrying their mom.
Ugh.
They're interviewed for this documentary and expressed how great their life was when their mom got with Russell. Vacations, a bigger home, light and love. The girls say that the basement of their home was a movie theater themed because Russell loved film so much, even having his own production company.
Where is this going, Morgan?
Yeah.
No, here's where you say, not where you think, Sarah.
Yeah, no, I wrote down the name of the production company, and then I realized that I think there's a typo, so I'm not even going to fucking say it because he doesn't deserve any more time than I already have to say. However, their mother, for some reason, changed her outlook on life and acted more like the girl's friend than their mother, encouraging them to party and drink at the ages of 12 and 15. Finally, Russell admits to working for Jared, and the girls get to meet him on a trip. To the girls, Jared was their famous uncle and got to brag to their friends about how many famous people they were kind of associated with for knowing Jared.
Mm-hmm. Which would be cool.
Which would be cool.
Yeah. Period. End of story.
Yeah. Cool. Great uncle. Like, Uncle Jared, like, so cool. It's not over. Russell, Hannah, and her friend attend a dinner with Jared. After dinner, it is made known to Russell that Jared wanted Hannah's friend after commenting on her body, etc.
And she's how old?
Like teens.
Ugh.
So no one really knew that the Jared Foundation slash Russell was associated with anything, let alone Jared being associated with it. So it's kind of like the documentary kind of splits, right? Like, this guy, Russell, so bad, but he's running the Jared Foundation, so you know something's going to happen. You know, like, something's going to, boom, surprise, Jared's involved, right? Whew. Finally, again, dates are kind of wonky. Somewhere between 2013 to 2015 when all of this finally comes to a head. Again, trigger warning. Russell is caught distributing bestiality content with images of his wife participating, Hannah and Christian's mom.
What? What? That took a... What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that is found via... A lot of this was found via text because, again, this was like late 2000s, 2013, 15, like texting was like all the rage then. You could share files, you could do whatever, like, and no one knew the backlash of it. No one knew that like police were gonna be able to like look at your cell phone records and do all this crazy shit.
Mm-hmm. They can't. If you're committing a crime, please put it in text.
Yeah, go ahead, text it out, son.
You're gonna wanna look at that later.
Probably should be connected to Wi-Fi while you do it too. Like get that IP address out there, just, you know.
Maybe do like a little backup file like with your email too. Like, you know, just really solidify that you have what you think you have.
Yeah, right.
Ain't nobody gonna look.
Yeah. Woo. When they get tipped off to this and they start looking into it, they basically go to Russell's and the girls and their mom's home to collect data, to do everything they can. And they find that there are like hundreds of cameras in their house, hidden in everyday objects, in the girls' rooms, in the bathrooms. Basically these girls were being filmed without their consent under the guise of this guy being their stepdad.
Did the mom know? Shut the fuck up. Did the mom know?
We'll get there. I will say also, like, there, I'm just gonna probably leave some of that at that. There's a lot more details that are very jarringly disturbing.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, I gave you a warning. There's actually a warning between every commercial break on that, on the documentary. So, yeah. Oof. It's a lot. It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Whew. April 29th, 2015, Russell is arrested. Subway put out a statement that they don't have any affiliation with the foundation. And immediately, the foundation provided statements saying that they're, in a nutshell, cut all ties with Russell Taylor. So both of those organizations are like, see ya. Bye. We didn't do anything. It wasn't us. So they're still kind of doing their investigation. They're like, okay, this guy worked for the Jared Foundation. Like, there's something's going on, and they start hearing the reports. The FBI is then getting tipped off. So they're starting to put pieces together, and they know what Rochelle has is real. So they're like, cool, let's take Rochelle's side and what we've learned and just put it together.
Sandwich them together.
Yeah,
might you say?
Yeah, but a 6-inch, not a 12-inch.
Anything but Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I really don't think they had any fucking, like, thing to do with it. The only thing that's mentioned on the documentary is that there were complaints of Jared put forward to the company, but there was another part that said, like, at least one of them was just talking about, like, his professionalism. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, anything sexual. Like, anything... it wasn't like a safety, like it wasn't a girl saying like I was with him and I felt unsafe, like it was just like he was like late or something like that, like something was like literally like professionally incorrect with how he handled something.
The HR person here, you report all that stuff. Yep. We gonna take it.
Report it all.
Mm-mm.
So again, the whole thing with Rochelle basically like just kept getting like they just kept collecting information and saying that there was no proof, right? There just was all no circumstantial, or there was no photos, no videos, no nothing. So yeah. The proof they had long awaited for came from a text message of a nude image of an underage girl that they had proof that Jared knew this girl. And the text was sent from Russell to Jared bragging about his sexual experience with her. And to, again, quote the documentary, a detective said, quote, "At that moment, Jared could have gone to the police. He could have said, don't send me that kind of thing ever again. He could have ended this relationship with Russell, but he chose to do something else," end quote. It then shows Jared's response asking when he would be having relations with this girl.
When he, Jared, or he, Russell?
He, Jared.
But,
like, basically, Russell said, hey, here's this girl I sexually assaulted. And Jared said, cool, when's my turn?
Ugh.
Not cool.
Yeah.
No turn. Bye.
Mm-mm.
Based on this and finding a thumb drive that Russell had given Jared, a search warrant was granted. July 7th, 2015, while a nice, quiet search is what the detectives hoped for, the media found out immediately and began broadcasting claims that Jared was involved in this and his home was again being searched. From this search, his double life began to unfold and Rochelle finally got to be interviewed. So, again, finally got a chance to speak on a newscast. It was, like, one guy finally was, like, I think he got tipped off to, like, Rochelle just knowing about it. She may have called. I can't quite remember. But basically she got her, I don't even want to say 5 minutes of fame, but she got to, like, finally, I feel like, air out what she's been holding in for fucking 10 years plus.
To her validation mm-hmm. of all the yes. work she's been putting in.
Exactly.
And, like, all the things she put on the line. You go, Rochelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. While America only saw him traveling around being the subway guy, in the background, he's spending $12,000 a month on sex workers, asking them for minors consistently and sadly obtaining them.
Oh, God.
Because he traveled over state lines while finding these girls and sexually assaulting them, it became a federal crime. And I mentioned females here, but obviously from his conversations with Rochelle, there was mention of males as well, so I will just say, like, minors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jared was arrested on distributing and receiving child pornography linked to Russell and victimizing prostituted minors. I had a really hard time writing that last night or 2 nights ago. He pled guilty a month after being arrested, and he could face, knowing that, he could face 5 to 50 years for his crimes. This is so frustrating. His lawyers had him tested, and it was believed that he had a sexual compulsion issue. Quote, he traded an obsession with food for an obsession with sex, end quote. However, from my mouth, that doesn't mean that you're going to pursue minors, let alone literal children, 6 to 7 years old. Fucking asshole piece of trash. In the end, Jared was only sentenced to 15 years in federal prison, and more than 20 was given to Russell. Again, I want to end with this just because it was kind of how the documentary ended, but it did bring up Hannah and Christian again.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, the case was reopened, and Hannah and Christian got asked to testify against their mom because evidence was found that she was involved.
No.
Oh, God.
In 2021, she was given 31 years for her involvement in the videos and texts proving she was sexually endangering her children.
Oof.
End quote. So,
disgusting.
I know there's a lot of facts at the end. I figured we would have some potential time for open discussion. I will try to answer questions as best I can, but that is the case of Jared Fogle.
I like Jimmy John's better. I mean, up top, I want to be real honest with you guys.
Ooh. Yeah.
Second thought, gross.
Yeah.
Like.
Now I'm the one speechless.
How's it feel, Aaron?
It doesn't feel great.
The quotes and hearing his voice on those tapes, like, I held my guts back a little bit on a couple times. I'm sitting on the couch with Wes, and I'm like, I may vomit. Like, I may.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pro, he's having a terrible prison time. They don't treat people who abuse minors well, so.
Nope.
And I know the food sucks, so have so much fun with that. That mom, what are you doing? What are you doing with your kids?
Yeah, so technically, sorry, I meant to do the math before. So yeah, he can be eligible for release in 2030, which is like so close that it's disgusting.
I hate how they tried to argue he had a compulsion, like he tried to trade one for another. Like,
I get it's their
like
job.
Trying to justify it some way. Like
I get it's their job, but I was like so disgusted. Yeah, just like, take the 15 and get the fuck out. Like he also pled guilty. Like shut. Like what the fuck?
Because he knew he like.
Yeah.
You were, how you can't get you out. There's too much evidence.
Caught red-handed for fucking sure. Ugh. It's just.
I know everyone has the right to an attorney. They have a right to whatever, and that's very American, very cool. I get it, but like, that is not really the time to argue. Like, well, who's he actually want? It's like, no. I think he's pleading guilty. We can all agree this was not like.
That's like what they said. Like, you take the plea deal and move on. Like, mm-hmm. Why would you even attempt to?
Did he at any point be like, hey, this is really wrong. I have a problem. I
don't. They
because again, saying you have an obsession or whatever, that is not.
He did not really talk. Like, I think he may have given a statement, but like when he just like quiet. I mean, he pled guilty less than a month later.
I don't think he's ever like come out and said sorry for anything.
I mean, sorry's not going to do it. I think what I'm looking for is him being like, yeah, this is bad.
Like an understanding that what he's doing is wrong.
Yeah. And I believe timeline-wise, he had either just been sentenced or like was about to be sentenced. His wife served him with divorce papers. She had no idea. And I would like to point out that Jared has two children.
Of his own. Mm-hmm.
With this woman.
Have they checked their home for cameras?
I don't know. Didn't go into that detail. They don't really talk about what they pulled from Jared's house except for like some of the content pulled. They didn't really talk about like what kind or how much or
who it was. I mean, he pleaded guilty. He knows he's guilty, so I guess there's no point to like really keep putting resources into this.
Yeah. I will say probably like just as disturbing as like what he was saying, like the quotes that they play, the tapes that they play for the documentary, was the way that he said it. Was so calm. Like he's not even like, yeah, baby, like, oh, like it's literally like, I can't wait. Get out of here, Nat. I can't wait to have you watch me pound a kid. Just straight laced calm. Mm-hmm.
Here's where you lose me. It's like, I never understand where that disconnect is of like, when those words leave your mouth, they should taste bad. They should taste mm-hmm. like you got mayo on a sandwich. No, you don't want that. You don't want it.
Maybe he likes mayo.
I bet his veggie fucking delight that he had every night didn't have any fucking mayo on it. Piece of fucking shit. Anyway.
Rancid mayo.
I just, and the other thing, and I know this is like jumping off the deep end, and I'm not trying to get political or anything on this podcast. If Jared fucking Fogle can get away with it for 10 plus years, think about the people who have more money and more power than him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at his height, he was pretty. He's a big deal.
But I'm thinking of other people.
Who not as big as his waistline.
No, whoa. Actually, I will never.
No, I'm not gonna fashion. You can be big, whatever. You don't just make you a bad person.
No, it was a good zing. It was a good zing. He's a fucking asshole. He's a monster. No matter what size, he's a fucking monster. Yeah.
Why must you do this to us?
I'm sorry. Yeah,
both of you. Shame. Shame.
I did feel inspired the whole time I was watching the documentary. I was like, I'm channeling Aaron. So yeah, highly recommend. If you guys want to watch it, I honestly would rewatch it with you. I have it for free at my house, so
okay,
hit me up. But yeah, I know it was a lot.
It just like you had so many other resources. I have no problem like, yeah, call, hire, use a sex worker. They, I think, are probably frontline workers in our country. Like, they should actually get a lot more respect than they do.
Yeah.
But those are also consenting adults.
Yeah.
Whenever you start preying on people who cannot consent, that's where you lose me. And also mm-hmm. where it's like, I think 15 years is way too small because I don't trust that when you get out in 15 years, you're not going to have the same, let's say, compulsion.
Mm-hmm. Urges. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatnot.
Like, I have urges to eat chocolate. Ain't nobody hurting for that.
Dude, mm-hmm. I'm sure anyone, regardless of your job, would love to make $12,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to spend that on a sex worker, yeah. By all means, go fucking pay her mortgage, their mortgage, please.
Please do. They earned it.
For someone who's of legal age. Like, I don't
And like freaky enough, so I don't know why this, why I know this, but there is, and maybe you, it's in one of your psychology books, Sarah, but there is a, there was like a, it wasn't TLC, but there was this documentary, and I saw it on YouTube, but it wasn't like a YouTube documentary, it was just like, they played like the parts, that there are people who know they are pedophiles and will never act on it. They say, I know my brain is sick. I live alone. I keep to myself. I do what I need to do to be a sexual being. But I know and would never do that. Like, so there was literally a documentary about how some people have, like, registered themselves as sex offenders. So that they are legally allowed to live where they want to. Like, crazy shit. So it's like, there literally are avenues. The world is crazy. But there are avenues where this could have been almost, I won't say okay, but like avoided.
Can we put some tax dollars to getting psychiatrists in schools? Uh-huh. Because I feel like y'all need some help, okay? Yeah. Like, I know you've caught the problem. You now think you have it under control. But the problem is there is still a problem that you could be fixing. Mm-hmm. Putting yourself on a list is not fixing that problem. Like, there is a way that you, like, you've taken step one. There are still 10 more steps to where you cannot, like.
Exactly. But I'm saying, like, there are people who realize that their brain is fucked up and who know that it's not okay. So, like, but him, he just went off with his little fantasies and made them fucking reality.
That he had that ego. Yep. Like, look at how famous people you met. Look at anything else you could have done. Like,
be that celebrity asshole that's like, well, I met Will Ferrell. I met blah, 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 blah. Like, cool. Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Great. Instead, you do this?
If you were, like, yeah, an inspirational guy bragging about meeting Will Ferrell, I would look past him and be like, what a cool life. Wish I had it.
Yeah.
Now I'm just like, what a cool cell. Glad you're in it.
Rotten jail, fucker.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, could talk about the terribleness of him and all of that industry in and forever, but yeah, I don't know why, but I was like, you know what, I don't think Aaron's covered the fucking subway guy, and I know he's not good, so sorry if I like glass ceiling shattered for you a little bit, Sarah.
I just think it's controversial. This is
for what, losing the weight with Subway?
No, I knew he did something. Okay. I just didn't think it was that. Yeah. I thought maybe it was like an insider trading thing. Like,
Yeah. No, it's,
I thought it was
worse.
Some
it's
financial scandal. So I was like, ah, they all do it.
No, it's gross. Nasty.
Terrible. Horrific.
So I guess that's it. That's the show.
We'll have to drink the story.
Yeah, we're gonna go to happy hour, folks.
Yeah.
Listeners, enjoy your evening.
I'm not going to. We're gonna keep talking about this. So
we'll
do a deeper dive.
Our ride is continual bumpy. Go ahead. What'd you say, Sarah?
You guys enjoy because we can't.
It's permanently in my brain, so sorry if it's in yours for a little bit, but also like gotta bring awareness. So,
and my compulsion is I need every detail of everything, which
that's fair.
Guess what? Guess who is now gonna have to watch the stupid documentary?
It's only three parts. It's very digestible. Like 3 hours max.
Think you can squeeze it in before you guys leave tomorrow?
You guys keep making these like food pun jokes. You're setting me up, and I refuse to knock them down because no, I'm out. Goodbye. Good day. Goodbye. Goodbye.
And with that, stay sinister, but maybe not as sinister as Jared Vogel. Okay.
Eat Jimmy John's.
Yeah.
Bye.
So help me if Jimmy John's has another scan. Like.